Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news of the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But the battle, and the battle for survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion. Let's determine what the solution will be. And, of course, this is the time when I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views and the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us Mr. Richard Hellman. And Mr. Hellman works for an organization, and I think it's called CPAC, and of course it's a political action committee that supports Israel. And of course he has the title of the talk he wanted to talk about is, why in heaven's name is the United States funding Hamas? Now remember, there are two groups of Palestinians. One's Fatah, which is supposedly the less militant. Hamas is an extremely militant Islamic group, and yet they've been funded by the United States. In fact, they were created by the CIA and by Israel many years ago, so they would have a foil so they could divide the Palestinian movement and be able to play them one against another. But is it possible that they have created a monster here? Well, you have to go into the background of so much of what's going on over there. Who put the mullahs in power in Iran? The United States Central Intelligence Agency. I can remember very well back in 1979 when government officials went to the Shah of Iran and said, you will leave tomorrow. The CIA had done everything they could to undermine the Shah, just as they had toppled Mossadegh in 1953, the democratically elected premier of Iran in 1953. So they toppled the Shah in 1979. I can remember at the time saying, why would we do something that stupid? Why would you get rid of a man who was your friend, at least nominally, and said he was anti-communist and was the bulwark against communism in the Middle East? And bring in the radical mullahs who hated the United States. Didn't make any sense then, but if you, as I do believe that there's a cosmic script being played out, makes a lot of sense right now. Well, with us is Mr. Richard Hellman. So, Mr. Hellman, thank you very much for being with us, and why don't you tell our listeners the answer to the question is, why is the United States funding Hamas?
Sure thing, Dr. Stan. Great to be with you. There's no good reason why the United States is funding Hamas, except that the State Department, much as it gave bad advice to President Jimmy Carter when he unwisely let the Shah go down the drain and the Ayatollahs come in, so too they've given bad advice to President Bush, George W. Bush, to tell him that if somehow he smears enough money around Gaza and the West Bank, otherwise known as Judea and Samaria, somehow he will be able to square the circle and have a peace agreement between Israel and the Palestinian Arabs. And it's and so therefore he is in the State Department has in fact been sending money to universities that sponsor Islamic causes and name their programs after so-called martyr heroes who have among other things invented and perfected the homicide explosive belt. So it's very bad, and there are even bigger examples of how your tax dollars and mine are being sent to foster terrorism.
Okay, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Mr. Richard Hellman right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. And today our guest is Mr. Richard Hellman, who is with an organization back in Washington, D.C., he simply was asked the question, why is the United States funding Hamas? Now, you remember, Hamas is the radical Palestinian organization. It's far more radical than Fatah, which is the other Palestinian organization over there. And we're funding and giving money to Fatah. We're providing with weapons, which will eventually be used against Israel, which really doesn't make any sense. And at the same time, of course, they are in opposition and competition with Hamas. And the United States is funding universities that are pushing Hamas's policy. They're universities that are set up Hamas. So why are we funding both sides of the Palestinian arena? And then, of course, funding by far the most radical as well as the less radical. And Mr. Hellman's idea was, of course, the State Department just is always giving poor advice. But, you think occasionally they'd give advice, they'd make a mistake and do something right. Why is it, and who really controls our State Department? Is there some group that controls the State Department, do you think, whether the Democrats or Republicans are in power?
Well, the State Department draws from a pool that comes out of our universities, including our prestigious universities of the Ivy League, Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Columbia, Brown, etc., and also from the think tanks like the Council on Foreign Relations and the Brookings Institution and the Carnegie Endowment for Peace and more. And all of these generally very liberal left-wing organizations are very much of a mind that if they're only smart enough, and if everybody would only follow their advice, then the lion and the lamb would lie down, not through the hand of God or through the fulfillment of Bible prophecy, God forbid, as they would think, but through their own clever ideas about how the Palestinian Arabs, for example, are just like us, and if you just provide enough incentives, they will develop peacefully and become a peaceful democratic state living side by side with Israel. But, as you well know and explain so wisely to your listeners, this is not going to happen that way, if ever.
How can I be so much smarter than they are? Let's be back in just a minute here with Mr. Richard Hellman as we begin to look at what's going on in the Near East. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and of course, Mr. Hellman, we've been talking about the State Department. It is a contention that the people in the State Department come out of the think tanks, out of the great foundations, out of the Council on Foreign Relations, and they all seem to have a mindset. And of course, they seem to be dedicated to whether the Democrats or Republicans are in office doesn't really matter. The same foreign and domestic policies are always carried out, and they always seem to be aimed more about bringing about a world government and less than really solving our problems. And at each turn, whether the Democrats or Republicans are there, why, of course, we see things going from bad to worse. So,
and Dr. Stan, there's another reason that I once heard explained, and I found it borne out in my experience today, and this was many years ago when I heard a lecturer in Jerusalem at the American Cultural Center, a private person who had been with the U.S. State Department, give a lecture on why State Department personnel could not be fair to Israel. And that was so intriguing, I went to hear this lecture, and what he basically described was a situation in which State Department personnel who want to work in the Near East or Middle East must spend, let's say, 3 years in Washington in an assignment and then go out to one of the countries, one of the states of the Middle East. And of course, if they go to Israel and they're too favorable or even just treat Israel fairly vis-a-vis the surrounding Arab states or vis-a-vis the Palestinian Arabs, then they are tarred as being pro-Israel. And then it becomes very difficult, if not impossible, for them to find a state that will accept them for their next overseas assignment. And so that puts a real crimp in their career advancement. So that was another reason, which I have found is certainly true, that if you want to go to certain states like Saudi Arabia, you had better not be too, or of course Syria, or even Egypt, you had better not be too favorable, perhaps not even fair, to Israel.
Well, you know, the great tragedy, I think that most Americans honestly think that our foreign policy is pro-Israel. And of course, this is certainly what a great deal of the media keeps telling us, but our American foreign policy has put so much pressure on Israel, they've had to pull back, you know, certainly from Gaza, being forced to pull out of Samaria, they've been forced to pull out of most of the West Bank, and they've reduced the size of Israel to a very, very small part of what they had 10 years ago.
Yes, and of course, Israel still has, contrary to the usual figures which say that there are 245 or 250,000 Jews who are resident in Judea and Samaria, which the world calls the West Bank, including the areas around Jerusalem, which the world calls East Jerusalem, all of those bedroom communities. But in fact, it's perhaps double that number. In other words, in the range of 450 to 500,000 Jews living happily, productively, in beautiful little planned communities, urban and rural, all through Judea and Samaria, which the world calls the West Bank, and they are all connected with infrastructure, you know, highways, electric lines, water lines, sewer lines, and so forth. But even more, they have immense political power in a nation of perhaps 6 million Jews and another million Arab and other citizens of Israel. So regardless of what the think tanks and the State Department thinks, there never is going to be any completion of the so-called roadmap or the two-state solution or the working out of the so-called Arab peace plan, which calls for Israel to pull out 100% all those perhaps 500,000 Jews and give over every bit of the infrastructure that they have built so carefully over the last 40 years.
And yet, of course, they were forced to pull out of Gaza. And here they had a very, very productive, a large part of the fresh produce that was used in Europe was coming out of Gaza, out of the Jewish greenhouses there, and they were forced to pull out and turn them over to the Palestinians, and they were immediately destroyed. And of course, the Palestinians don't have any jobs. The Israelis now, who were there, impoverished, you know, living under terrible circumstances in Israel, with very little hope for the future, and they're very, very bitter about what's happened.
Yes, you're right, Dr. Stan. Everything you've said is 100% accurate, and if you just look at it, even if you didn't have a particular predilection to support Israel or the Palestinian Arabs, if you just looked at it objectively and you had any sense of justice, or if you had any soul, you would just cry to see how those 8 to 10 thousand Israelis were pulled out, and then instead of taking the opportunity, so to speak, in making Gaza into a productive, happy place of economic productivity and freedom and democracy.
For the Palestinians, you're talking.
Yeah, the Palestinian Arabs immediately took to not only low intensity but very lethal warfare against each other, Hamas against the PLO and vice versa, and Islamic Jihad going back and forth between them. But they destroyed the greenhouses, as you say, and they continued to allow and to foment and foster the firing of thousands of rockets, Qassam rockets, against Israel's towns and farms in the vicinity. So it's an untenable situation, and if you put yourself in their shoes, Americans would never stand for this.
But what's going to happen there, Mr. Hellman? Certainly, it's a very unstable situation. It's like,
yes, it is.
It's like a tinder, and they're just waiting for somebody to strike another match.
Yes. Well, I'm almost certain that since the Palestinian Authority, neither under the PLO for some 13 years, nor more recently, some 12 years, nor more recently for the last year under Hamas has lifted the tiniest finger to do anything to stop the incitement of the people, the stirring up of the people to hatred, terror, and war, nor have they done the first thing to stop or to dismantle the terrorist infrastructure or stop their firing rockets against Israel and sending suicide bombers against Israel. Israel is just going to have to go in there, and it may be fairly soon, and clean out those nests of terrorists that are firing the rockets at Israel, and then say to the Palestinian Arabs, you know, we told you, take care of it or we'll come and do it, and Israel's going to have to do it. And I would only say that we as Americans should be ready to support Israel, because Israel really has been forbearing about the whole situation more than I believe Americans would have been.
All right, now what about the relationship between Israel and Lebanon and certainly
Israel? Well, that's another situation that's very tough. Since last summer, when UN Security Council Resolution 1701 brought an end to the overt hostilities between the Hezbollah terrorist forces in South Lebanon, who were raining down thousands of rockets on Israel, and also had not returned the two Israeli soldiers that they had kidnapped on the Israeli side of the international border, the world was pretty much united behind Israel at that time and thought, well, Israel must defend herself. But since then, there has been no enforcement, I say no enforcement, of Security Council Resolution 1701. Neither have the two Israeli captives been returned, or if, as may be the case, they're dead, their remains accounted for, which would be very sad, nor has there been any disarmament of the Hezbollah forces. They have, once again, more than 12,000 rockets pointed at Israel. They're digging into bunkers, and now, in a way, they are shielded by the beefed-up UNIFIL forces that were put in there to supposedly keep the peace after Israel withdrew. So I suspect that it's only a matter of time that if the Lebanese government, which seems incapable or unwilling to disarm Hezbollah, or the UN forces, the UNIFIL forces, similarly incapable or unauthorized to disarm Hezbollah, and of course Hezbollah isn't going to disarm itself, I think it's only a matter of time before war breaks out on that front again and Israel goes in and does what it feels it should have done the last time, that is to say, to clean out the nests of rocket installations.
Well, of course, the thing is that they could have done that before, and they weren't allowed to. In other words, they gave way to international pressure,
yes.
And a man named Javier Solana went to see Mr. Olmert.
Yes.
And Mr. Olmert said, yes, sir, Mr. Solana, we will stop the war. And as a result of stopping the war, they lost the war. They might very well have won the war, and of course it would have been great for the morale of the military,
yes.
And for the people, and they weren't allowed to.
Yes, well, objectively speaking, there was enough blame all around, you know, enough blame to go around, because the Israel government was, frankly, and the military forces were restrained, and they were slow starting and slow accelerating, so that the world came to say, we must, you know, as they always do in this era of nonstop 24/7 cable news coverage of every conflict and every rocket that falls and every person who is killed or injured or maimed, the world said, this must stop. And after 6 weeks, which was really quite a long time for an Israeli war against one of her enemies, usually maybe 3 to 4 times longer than most of Israel's wars, they had not gotten the job done, and our administration finally succumbed to international pressure and let this Security Council resolution go through. But having said that, I think it behooves us to say the UN really must enforce this. There must be some change, or else war is going to break out again and Israel will have to do it militarily.
Well, I think it's so fascinating that Israel, Jerusalem, is really the center of so much of the focus of world attention today. I mean, the war is all over the world, but
yes.
The one that's taking place in Israel seems
yes.
to have front and center stage. And
yes.
The question is, why is that? We'll be back in just a moment here with Mr. Richard Hellman. Well, Mr. Hellman, why don't you just tell our listeners just a little bit about who you are and of course your interest in this and your thoughts.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mined supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
To give more freedom, but here in the United States, at the same time our boys are overseas fighting for freedom, we're coming in under increased government surveillance. We find the FBI violating our laws and collecting dossiers on people. We know that the military certainly is collecting dossiers on the Americans. We know about Project Echelon, where they're reading our mail and certainly reading our emails and our faxes and listening to our telephone calls with the computers. It seems that at the same time we're talking about bringing democracy and freedom to the Arab countries, we're losing our freedom here at home. Is there any concern about that in Washington, D.C.?
Well, absolutely there is, and it's not just a left-wing concern of the ACLU. There also are good conservatives like ex-Congressman Barr who decry any loss of freedom or overly intrusive actions of government. We need to be vigilant, as Benjamin Franklin famously replied when some ladies through a window said, "Mr. Franklin, what kind of a government do we have when he was meeting to adopt the Constitution in the Constitutional Convention. And he replied famously, "A republic if we can keep it."
Yes, I mean, Mrs. Powell, actually, he was talking to.
Pardon? Yes.
Her name was Mrs. Powell.
Yes,
it was overheard by one of his assistants and recorded. It's one of those little gems of wisdom,
yes,
of our history. You know?
Yes, and I believe that's true to this day. We must, eternal vigilance is the price of liberty, and there always is a tension, particularly in a time of total war, like the present war against terror, really a war against militant Islamic extremism. There will be a tension, as there was a tension in World War II and even in the Civil War, between individual freedoms and liberties and the need to develop the intelligence and fight the war by all means.
You know, you're speaking now of the war on terrorism.
Yes.
Well, of course, you know, one of the things that really bothers me so much is I don't hear the conservative Christian leaders of this country, the conservative groups, you know, other than Bob Barr, who is sorely criticized, incidentally, for speaking out and being on the same side as the ACLU. But what really frightens me is that the Christian leaders and the conservative leaders are not really speaking out a great deal and loudly and persistently about the progressive erosion of our freedom, and it's only the left-wingers who are doing anything about it. Does this concern you?
Well, yes, I would like to hear more of that for balance, certainly. But I can assure you that with the Democrats in control of both houses of Congress, that point of view will not go unrepresented or underrepresented, Dr. Stan. There's going to be a full airing of these issues and hopefully a resolution which makes, to use a dirty word, an appropriate compromise between absolute liberty and freedom of communications, free from government intrusion on the one hand, which will never be the case, I'm afraid, and on the other hand, overly zealous government intrusion, which is not warranted by our wartime situation. I believe that we're wise enough, and if we stay with it and watch, I think it's important that American citizens, as you do so well, keep track of what our government is doing and hold our government leaders' feet to the fire. And now that we have a bunch of Democrats running the Congress who say they want to do oversight, we should watch and see how wisely they examine and hopefully change appropriately any policies that are over-intrusive.
Well, I certainly agree with you. I just think it's such a shame, as a lifelong Republican, that we have to look to the Democrats to do what the Republicans should have done and didn't have the courage to do. But what do you think the outlook for it really is for changing the attitudes in the Middle East? Do you honestly think that these Islamic countries are going to allow increased freedom and transparency?
They just might. Among other things, there is a trend which is virtually unreported in the mainline media that many millions of Muslims are coming to believe in Jesus Christ and become Christians. Now, the Muslims aren't going to publicize that, and the evangelists, many from the United States and other Western countries who have gone to these countries, are not going to publicize it for fear of their work and perhaps their lives being eliminated. But there are ameliorating forces underway, and I believe there is some hope.
Well, I think the only hope for, of course, the Muslims, for the Arabs, is Christianity. Certainly,
yes.
There's no hope. They have a religion without hope. The only way they're sure to get to heaven is to die in jihad.
Very sad.
Well, the This is Dr. Stan back here. I guess is Mr. Vincent Hellman. So what is the message that you would like to get out to our listeners here in the audience today?
Well, Dr. Stan, I'm inviting everyone within sound of our voice today, my voice today, to join with us at CPAC and let their voices be heard by our elected leaders, by their representative in the House of Representatives, and by their two U.S. senators, and indeed by the White House, where they very carefully tabulate how many and what kinds of messages arrive, for example, on the need to support Israel in very real and practical ways. And people can, of course, go to our website, www.cpaconline.org. That's CIPACONLINE.org, just like it sounds, cpaconline.org. They can go there, and with a few clicks of the mouse, they can send a message to their representative, to their senators, and to the White House, and be counted in very strong and unique measures, recommendations to pass important legislation that helps Israel survive and thrive. For example, I mentioned House Concurrent Resolution 21, which is our key current action item, HCON Res 21. They can urge their member of Congress, their congressman or congresswoman, to co-sponsor and vote for HCON Res 21, and they can urge their senators to introduce and sponsor a similar companion measure in the Senate, and that will send a strong signal that America is standing with Israel and the Jews this time against the new Hitler who has arisen in the Middle East and is seriously threatening to eliminate Israel and the Jewish people. Everyone wants to emphasize and concentrate on President Ahmadinejad, his development of nuclear weapons, which certainly is very threatening, and we oppose that. But it's not just what's in his arsenal. It's not just the weapons in his arsenal, but most particularly it's what's in his heart and mind, as has been repeatedly expressed in his writings and his speeches over the last year.
I see. And when we get back, I would very much like to have you tell us what is in this legislation, so that we would certainly know what the author is trying to accomplish. We'll be right back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Mr. Richard Hellman. One more time, would you like to get out your website? And, of course, so then you were recommending some legislation. You were going to tell us what this legislation was. First of all, what is your website?
Yes, Dr. Stan, it's good to be with you. And our website is www.cpaconline.org. That's CIPACONLINE.org, CPACONLINE.org. And people who go there or who call us in Washington, if you don't have access to a computer, call us at 202-234-3600, and we can tell you or send you information as to how to take action. And the particular action that we are working most intently on today is to get more co-sponsors and, of course, to get passage of House Concurrent Resolution 21. That's HCON Res 21. That's on our website, on our Legislative Action Center on our website. And this resolution, which has broad bipartisan sponsorship, it was begun by Representative Steve Rothman of New Jersey, a Democrat, Jewish gentleman, and by Mark Kirk of Illinois, a Republican and a Christian. And so, and then there are about 70 others who have co-sponsored this legislation to date. And so we anticipate within the next month that with a lot of push from good citizens, like your listeners, like our listeners today, we are going to see that legislation enacted, and it will send a strong signal to the president of Iran and to the Iranian people that President Ahmadinejad is out of line in his threatening to eliminate Israel.
Well,
basically, and the Jewish people.
What was the concurrent resolution? What does it actually say?
It says that the Congress of the United States calls upon the UN Security Council to charge President Ahmadinejad of Iran with incitement to genocide against Israel. And obviously, it lays the preamble by referring to the Convention on the Prevention and Elimination of Genocide and the UN Charter, the founding document of the United Nations in the aftermath of the Holocaust and World War II. Now, of course, we are not so foolish as to think that this Security Council or this United Nations, when the Congress passes this resolution, hopefully in the near future, is going to jump into action and move to cite the President of Iran with crimes against Israel involving incitement to genocide. But we believe this will lay the basis for nations to repeatedly bring this matter before the Security Council and embarrass and force the Security Council to recognize a threat to the Jews literally as severe as that which produced the Holocaust and perforce the creation of the United Nations.
Well, of course, apparently Ahmadinejad is losing a great deal of support in Iran itself. And certainly, as you're, I'm sure, well aware of the fact that almost half the population is between 15 and 24 or 25, and these people certainly don't want to go along with Ahmadinejad. Certainly the Iranian people don't want to go to get into a war with the Israeli people. Nobody wants war. The American people don't want war. The Iranian people don't want war. Ahmadinejad, I think, is an aberration. He really is. I mean, it looks to me like he came from Central Casting someplace, and it's almost like he's following a script of some sort. So certainly what frightens me is the implications that we might actually end up getting in somehow involved in a war over there with our military forces there. All you would need would be another Gulf of Tonkin incident or a sinking of the Maine incident, which, of course, neither one of them really occurred the way we've been told, but just sort of accidentally falling into another war. Are you concerned about this?
Oh, absolutely, Dr. Stan. I believe that our government leaders, with us watching them very closely, must be most careful as they tread through the scenarios that may unfold in the days and months and year ahead. And
can we really trust the current leadership? I mean, it seems to me they go from bungle to bungle to bungle to bungle.
Well, I think I would say that go back to President Reagan's famous aphorism, trust but verify. Yes, we need to trust our elected leaders, for there is in effect, a covenant in our system between the elected and the electorate. But I believe it depends on an informed and active electorate that is not just sitting around of a night drinking a beer or a soft drink and watching reality TV or worse, but it involves people who become educated, become informed, and watch what is really happening, including what's happening behind the scenes. And today, through the Internet and other new media, it's very easy to get a lot of data, to get various viewpoints, to form, and I think each citizen needs to think and form his or her own viewpoint, and then go to what the White House is proposing to do, and that becomes clearer and clearer through the media today, and what the State Department's point of view is, and what the Congress is doing. And I think what you pointed out is extremely important, that we do not want to stumble or blunder into a war or a wider war, but we must understand the threat. Iran is not only developing nuclear weapons and not only threatening genocide against Israel and the Jews, but of course it is violating the human rights of its own people and suppressing any real freedom or democracy. And you are absolutely right that the people of Iran, especially the young people, are not favorable to the president of Iran. And I believe that the Council of Ayatollahs are taking this into account. And as we build up the pressure on Ahmadinejad and point out his hateful statements for what they are, incitement to genocide, I think he may well be overthrown by his own rulers because of the discontent and unrest by the people. The economy is in trouble. They are talking about gasoline rationing because they must import refined products because they have not built the refineries because they put all the money into the nukes. And now you find even Russia thinking twice about whether it wants to continue to deliver nuclear materials to Iran, partly because there are questions about Iranian payment. It's been slow. But also, I believe, Russia does not, although Russia is by no means our great friend and ally, I'm afraid, but they do not want to be painted as the ones who have developed a new nuclear power that destabilizes the Middle East and potentially threatens them as well as Europe and the rest of the world.
Well, I certainly certainly hope and pray that, that this be the case. The thing is that my understanding is that Iran, that Russia has been a little reluctant to deliver the nuclear material, because I think for our listeners, the nuclear material that Russia was going to provide was for the power plant, for the nuclear power plant that they were building for Iran. But of course, there's been such a squeeze economically on Iran that the Iranians really haven't been able to pay the Russians. So that, that's one reason why Russia has not provided the nuclear material.
And Dr. Stan, of course, implicit in what you are saying is that we do not wish to immediately or in the short term, perhaps ever, to proceed to military action on a broad scale against Iran. However, in I have heard a prominent retired American general who is very thoughtful and gives a lot of consideration to these issues, General McInerney, who said that we have the plans in place for targeted high explosive attacks that would take out the key building blocks in the nuclear enrichment and weapons production system chain, and that we can do this without broad-scale attacks that would endanger the population of Iran on a broad scale. And he pointed out that, for example, a certain nuclear scientist in Iran disappeared mysteriously, thought to have been taken out possibly by the Mossad or another security agency of Israel, but I don't know, he didn't know for a fact that that's what happened, but at least it should give pause for thought to Iran. In addition, we have at least two carrier groups in the Persian Gulf. We have been, we have received and are debriefing a high-level defector, an assistant or a deputy minister of defense of Iran, who is giving us apparently great reams of information, not only about the state of development of nuclear capability by Iran, but also about Iran's production facilities for the lethal explosive devices that are being sent to afflict our soldiers, our men and women in Iraq, the training facilities for terrorist fighters who are being sent from Iran to Iraq to attack our troops, as well as ordinary Iraqis, and also, most particularly, Iran's forces that have been in the forefront of developing and training Hezbollah in Lebanon and in other places, and also funding and training Hamas terrorists. So I believe that all of these factors, in addition to the fact that the United States recently, it was little noticed by the media with everything else that's happening, but American gunships took out two parties of Al-Qaeda terrorists in Somalia, apparently very surgically, without any appreciable collateral damage, but very effectively. And so I think the leaders of Iran are going to be watching this, and the people of Iran are going to be watching this and wondering whether they want to blunder into a situation where they will be struck and their nuclear capability taken out militarily, either by America, or if not by America, I believe, by Israel. Nobody wants to do that, and that's why I believe that all that we can do right now, economic sanctions, diplomatic sanctions, possibly even somehow blocking the shipment of nuclear fuel from Russia, perhaps in an extreme case even hindering or blocking the import of refined gasoline products into Iran, or giving a hint that we may even be thinking about that. All of these things together and some new legislative measures that are being considered by the Congress may well persuade the real rulers of Iran, the Ayatollahs, that Ahmadinejad is too hot to handle and must go.
Well, Chris, that is certainly a very real possibility, and certainly I would hope and pray that you're right. But I can remember the years, I'm old enough to remember the years leading up out of the Second World War. I was quite young then, but we put sanctions on Japan. We blockaded them and actually prevented them from getting oil, which they had to have to run their economy. We prevented them from getting raw materials, you know, to put pressure on them. And instead of course, getting them to change their policies, why, it precipitated Pearl Harbor. How could we be absolutely certain when we're dealing with irrational people, and I believe that Ahmadinejad and many of the people who surround him are irrational people. How could we be sure that irrational people would do irrational things and maybe just plunge the whole world into World War III?
Yes, well, I think perhaps we did not take too many measures against the burgeoning power and authority of dictators before World War II. Perhaps we took too few, particularly with respect to Hitler and Mussolini, but perhaps also with respect to Japan. Perhaps we were not vigilant enough at that time, and certainly we were not sufficiently aware or interested in light of our situation, the depression and unemployment and more. We were not willing to act to prevent what became the Holocaust, or to accept large numbers of Jews, either in America, broadly speaking, the United States or Canada, or to encourage the British to let them go into the area of the Palestine Mandate in Israel at the time. And it breaks my heart when I go to the Holocaust Memorial Museum, as I did about a month ago, and there on the fourth floor you read and hear about, in a film, the effort of the Congress to have a special bill to let 20,000 children who would not have endangered anybody's job, 20,000 Jewish children, to be sent to America, and yet it failed because isolationists and those who did not sufficiently understand the peril to the Jews at the time blocked that legislation from being enacted. And I say today we must do everything reasonable to
hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, Mr. Hellman, we've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program. So what are the messages that you want to leave with our listeners out across?
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
The dollar has lost over 50% of its value in the last 3 years, and it is still falling, while gold has gone up over 60% in the last 3 years. As the dollar continues to fall, you have a well-thought-out plan to preserve the wealth you worked hard all your life to accumulate? Historically, gold and silver have been real financial security for those who understand the abuses and dangers of paper currencies. Have you considered buying gold and silver, but you don't know how to go about doing it? The gold coin industry has a real problem. It abounds with scam artists. I have written a 26-page paper entitled Gold and How to Avoid the Scams in the Coin Industry. So if you'd like to educate yourself before you buy, give me a call, Cal Grunwald, at my new number, 414-234-8267, and I will send you my paper on the scams in the coin industry at no charge. That's 414-234-8267.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Yes, if these legislative and government and presidential measures that I've mentioned that people can learn more about and participate in on our website, if that CPAConline.org, if they do not work, and I can assure you that the Pentagon is ready, that our military has all the plans and capabilities to effectively take out the nuclear capability of Iran, and if we don't do it, I'm virtually certain that Israel is almost as well equipped as we are, and that they will do it if they are forced to do it for their own survival, although they would very much wish to not have to take any military action toward Iran, I'm sure.
All right, fine. Well, thank you very much. It's been a real pleasure. Really enjoyed having you. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye.
Good to be with you.
Bye-bye. And that was Mr. Richard Hellman from CPAC. And that's C-I, I guess it's because I is for Israel, PAC. And certainly, I wanted you to hear his views now. They may differ with mine. I have, everything I see convinces me that this is the time when we are going to expand the war in the Middle East. You'll want to get my February newsletter. We're just finishing it up here in the middle of March, but I've been struggling with this, but it was really very, very revealing. I learn something every time I write a newsletter. You'll want to get a copy of our February newsletter. We'll have it out probably within a week or so. You'll certainly want to get a copy of our new talk, Forbidden Secret. That's Forbidden Secret, that will begin to put all of the things that are going on together into some continuity, so you can discuss intelligently why we will be moving into increasing conflict in the Middle East. And hope and pray that I'm wrong, but everything suggests, and reading the writings of the people on the other side, and I'm talking about now not the Iranians, I'm talking about the people who have turned their life over to the dark spiritual force from the other dimension. They intend at this time in history, I believe, to precipitate World War III and have the Jews and the Christians kill the Muslims and the Muslims kill the Christians and Jews. And you say, that's crazy talk. That's what they say. You want to read their quotations and you'll be amazed at what you read in the February newsletter. If you want a free copy, give us a call, 1-800-544-8927. If you're a subscriber, it'll be getting to you as well as soon as we have it done. And then, of course, we do have many of you who will want to get the material we have by Constance Cumby, her four-tape set, either video, either tapes or CDs, her video, either video or a DVD. And then, of course, you'll want to get her book, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow. You'll want to get my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness. And then we hope you'll want to get some of the other things that we have. The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, a three-hour, beautifully done, a very skillfully done documentary. Then the new one that's coming out called Riddles in Stone. That's Riddles in Stone, put out by Chris Pinto. Another three-hour, beautifully done documentary, as good as anything you'll see on television. And they tell you about the secret architecture of our nation's capital. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, there is secret architecture. In fact, there is a riddle in the stone and the pictures in the statues that you'll see there that will tell you an entirely different picture than you've ever known before. And you begin to understand then the spiritual forces behind what's going on today. So we ask you, of course, to go to our website, RadioLiberty.com. You can get all sorts of material there. And we do hope that you'll take advantage of the videos and four tape sets and books we make available. Listen to our programs there on the internet, 3 hours a day directly on the archives, on the MP3, and then of course there are two other programs you can get as well. And then of course we hope that many of you will certainly tell others about our website and encourage them to go there. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.